Making the right choices alters the destiny of your life. It's been said that the choices you make are the sum total of the character of your life. There's no arguing about that. And on today's PowerPoint, you'll see how choosing service over selfishness can give you a beautiful life and a lasting legacy. So stay with us. This next message in Pastor Graham's new Choices series is coming up next right here on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Proverbs 23 and verse 26. We're in a series of messages from the book of Proverbs called Choices. Choices are vital, not only for the direction of your life, but for your ultimate destination and destiny. And throughout the Word of God, not only in Proverbs, which speaks of wise living and making wise and good and godly decisions, but also throughout all of the pages of Scriptures, we are called upon to make wise choices, to love God, to choose to love Him and follow Him and obey Him, and yes, to serve Him. So the title of this message and the theme, our subject from Proverbs and God's Word today, is choosing service over selfishness. I believe the most important choice that we make, certainly I believe the most important choice that I have made after I received Christ as my Lord and Savior and decided to follow Him, was the decision, the choice to serve Him. When Saul of Tarsus was transformed, became the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, when he was converted, he asked two questions. Lord, who are you? And once Christ identified himself as the risen Redeemer, then the Apostle said, the upcoming Apostle, said, what would you have me to do? Lord, who are you? And then, what would you have me to do? Proverbs 23, verse 26. Just a half a sentence in this Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at others and other scriptures, so keep your Bibles open. But it is a father inviting a son. It is God inviting us. My son, my children, give me your heart. Give me your heart. The heart is representative of the inner you, the part of you that is made for God and God alone, ultimately. The part of you that God knows and sees. It's the you of you. Out of the heart flow all of the issues of life, says the book of Proverbs. Ultimately, we must get to the place as followers of Jesus that we realize that my life is not about me and my and mine and I. We learn to choose over self service, knowing that we can't change everything, but we can change something. Knowing that we can't change the whole world and the people of the world, but we can serve somebody. We can make a difference in people's life near to us, to touch the near edge of some great need. I know this, God wants me to be His servant. And when I was a teenager, 15 years of age, I heard the call of God to serve Him for the rest of my life. Now, in my case, that meant preaching the gospel, pastoring a church. But when you hear the call of God, it may not be to serve as a missionary or a minister or a pastor vocationally, but I promise you, every member of God's church, of His body, is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be a minister, I should say. All of us are called by Christ to follow Him with all of our hearts, to be His servant. Now, when you read the New Testament in particular, you see a word appearing describing the servants of God. It is used continuously by the Apostle Paul. It is the word doulos in the language of the New Testament. Doulos, which means a bond slave. A slave of God. Paul said, I am a doulos. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. The other apostles recorded in the New Testament also took this title to themselves, this title of humility and brokenness before the Lord, of ownership and obedience before God who is master and king. The apostle Peter said, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. John, the apostle, who was one of the dearest friends of our Lord, who laid his head over on the chest of our Lord at the final supper with the disciples, he said, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Jude said, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. James, the half-brother of Jesus. Imagine growing up with Jesus. Your big brother never does anything wrong. And yet James, his half-brother, said, I am a slave. I'm a slave of Jesus. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. In light of this proverb which says, my son, give me your heart. Give me your life. It is because we belong to him. Lock, stock, and barrel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body which belongs to him. We are purchased by Christ. Therefore, we are possessed by Christ. He owns us. My eyes are not my eyes. They belong to him. My mouth, my lips, my speech is not my own. It belongs to him. My hands, my feet, my body, everything I have, my family, my future, all of it belongs to him. I'm yours, Lord, is what the Christian says because we are his slaves. And yet, we don't hear this in a me first, all about me generation. As a matter of fact, even in some churches today, we have a message of prosperity more and more for religious consumerism, health and wealth and human happiness. That's what it's all about. So some, even in the church, are not getting this message of submission and sacrifice and surrender and working for the master till the day is done. Instead, our lives too often are about how many zeros are at the end of our paycheck, the square footage of our house, the kind of cars we drive, vacations that we take, amassing more applause and more fame and more celebrity. But God has not called us to be celebrities. He's called us to be slaves for him. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Jesus will not live at the periphery of our lives. He is Lord. He is master. He is king. He will not allow us to be worthless, lazy, servants. Now, one of the things you see in the book of Proverbs is a command to work hard. For example, you're in Proverbs chapter 23. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, and look at that. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. In other words, if there is a need and you see a need, meet that need. Jesus told a parable about this. A man who was broken and wounded along the roadside of life, and as these thieves took away his possessions and beat him, bloodied him to the end of his life, left him for dead, and then along came religion, religious professors and priests and scribes and Pharisees and walking by on the other side of the road, Jesus said, and paid no attention. And though they had the capability and the call of God to help hurting people, they walked by on the other side lest they soil their hands or dirty their fingers. Along came a Samaritan, hated in that world, the world of Jesus, a Samaritan. The Bible says he saw him and he had compassion upon him. And he reached out and he took oil and wine, medicinal properties, and he soothed his wounds and he took him to a local inn and paid for the bill. And Jesus then looked at a very surly, gnarly religious crowd and said, "Who was this man's neighbor?" And the whole point of that parable is that anyone who has a need is my neighbor. I may not know him or her, may not live on my street, may live on the other side of town, on the other side of the tracks, may live on the other side of the world, but if I see a need, God has called me to see that need, to have a heart to feel that need with a heart of compassion, and then to act on that need as a servant of God. And so rather than just seeing how much more I can accumulate, I become a generous giver rather than a greedy getter.
We'll return in a moment for the conclusion of today's message.
It's been well said that your character is the sum total of the choices and decisions you make in life. And if there's one book in the Bible that gives you guidance on how to make good, wise choices in life, it's the book of Proverbs. In Pastor's brand new series, simply called Choices Part 1, Pastor Graham takes you to the book of Proverbs to show you how its personal and practical wisdom can guide you through any issue in life. With messages about knowing and doing God's will, choosing giving over greed, and how to avoid foolishness, the six-part message series will give you some powerful, timeless wisdom from the Scripture to help you make good decisions in everyday life. So call PowerPoint today and request your copy of Choices Part 1.
There's only one thing to do with self. That's not to improve self, to do better with self, but to die to self. To pick up the cross daily and follow after Christ. You want to improve yourself? You want to be happy in life? Maybe we really ought to define happiness. Because happiness, according to the Bible, is a lot different than what the world calls happiness. Happiness in the Scripture is to be blessed. It is to be content. Satisfied, fulfilled, loved, and grateful. Does that describe your life? Fulfilled, blessed, satisfied, content, at peace with God and with man. That's real happiness. I'll tell you what makes me happy. You want to know what makes your pastor happy? My family and my friends, my church, helping others find Christ. I tell you what makes me happy is coming to work every day and enjoying making a difference. Not always easy. I mean, I don't bound out of bed singing hymns every morning. Sometimes I do. But I know when I'm on my way to work that I'm here to make a difference, not just to make a living. And the fact is, you don't have to be a preacher to know all of that. Whatever you do, God has called you to do it if you're doing His will. Wherever you're going, If you follow Him as His slave and do His bidding, you're going to make a difference. And I promise you, that's what makes us happy. I'm reading the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer right now, the German Lutheran pastor martyr who resisted the Nazism of Germany in the Second World War. He was hung on the gallows for his faith and what he believed. And it was Bonhoeffer who wrote in The Cost of Discipleship, when God calls us to discipleship, He bids us come and die. Frankly, when I read the stories of these great martyrs and missionaries, I am ashamed of myself. And I wonder if I would do what they have done, and others even today, slaughtered for their faith in Christ. Would I be a slave for Jesus wherever He put me? In life or in death? How have we made life so complicated? When did we stop falling on our faces at the Master's feet and simply saying, Lord, I thank You for what I have, not what I don't have. I thank You for calling me and commanding me to serve You. Instead of just living for more toys and more gadgets and more stuff and expanding my portfolio, Lord, that I can live for You. And oh yes, what You give me, if You choose to bless me beyond measure as you have, then I can give it as I give myself. Paul said to the Corinthians giving their offerings, first give yourselves and then your offering. Be a servant. Jesus is the perfect example, of course. In fact, turn to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. It's Passover time. This is the Last Supper our Lord would share with His disciples, the Master, with these followers, slaves, at His feet, and yet something absolutely bizarre happened. For Jesus, knowing that it was His time, that it was His moment, the reason that He was born, on His way to the cross, verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Now stop right there. Everything is His. Jesus knew it. The world, the universe, the stars, the planets, everything. All things are in His hands. So what did Jesus do? Did He take up His throne? No. He took up a towel. He stripped down His outer cloak and took the position, the posture of a slave. It was the job of a slave, typically, to wash the feet of the guests of the house. And since none of the disciples obviously were getting it yet, Jesus showed them what life is about, and He got on His knees, and one by one, He washed their feet. Verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." Not necessarily the physical washing of feet, but again, the meeting of the need that is right in front of you, ministering and serving others. Acting like a slave instead of a selfish brat. And notice what happened. "Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Happy are you if you do these things. You want to be happy? Serve somebody. Try giving your life away. Instead of making it all about you. You know, I've seen people make it all about themselves and they just shrivel up and die. I've seen some who through the years have served God, and maybe you're thinking about giving up. Maybe you're tired and you're just, you know, I want to tell you that the quickest way to depression and defeat in your life is to get all turned in on yourself. And start feeling sorry for yourself. And then the lethargy comes in and the laziness comes in and you don't want to get out of bed. Why? Because it's all about you. Now, I understand the issues of emotional depression and so on. But the fact is that any time we are down and defeated and can't go is typically because we have turned inside rather than outside. And this will rob you of joy and passion for life. You develop a I don't care, who cares about anything attitude. And that's not the way of Christ. Make the choice, even when you don't feel like it, even though it seems impossible, to get yourself up and get yourself going. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, do be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So here's the message. You want the message in a sentence? Here it is. Write it down. Carry it with you this week. Put it over where you brush your teeth. That'd be a good place for it. Die to self, live to serve. Die to self, live to serve. Start with your own family. Husbands, serve your wives. Wives, serve your husbands. Moms and dads, serve your children. Children, serve your parents. You know how? It's one of the big ten. Obey your parents. Honor them. That's serving your parents. Serve your church. It may not be a front row position. It may not be a platform position. Some people are waiting to serve till they can get it at the head of the line. Do the job they want to do. Why don't you just do the job right in front of you? Find your sweet spot. You know, when I played baseball, sometimes I would try to hit a home run. And every time I tried to hit a home run, I'd end up cracking the bat, hitting it on the handle, missing the pitch, overswing, hurting my back, and so on. But there were other times I was just concentrating on hitting the pitch out in front of me, making a good swing. And when you do that, sometimes you would just really catch the sweet spot. And when you catch the sweet spot on a bat, you don't even feel the ball. There's no reverberation. There's no shock. There's not even that big of a crack. It just sails. It is empowered when you hit the sweet spot. And when you are in your sweet spot, serving God as to what God has called you to do and gifted you to do, you'll not get tired. Oh, sometimes you get tired in the work, but you'll never get tired of the work that God has called you to do if you're doing and obeying His word. Get in the church. Try this. Don't just let the so-called professionals do it. God has called you to be a servant. Find out what God has called you to do and do it for His glory. Why? You're His slave. You're a bond slave. Serve the culture. I'm talking about the world. People who don't know Jesus. Friendship evangelism and ministry evangelism and caring for their needs. That's what Jesus did. He preached to them, but He also ministered to them and healed their hurts and blessed their children. The way to reach our communities in this culture is like Christ did. You got to serve somebody. I know you may be tired, you may be unmotivated, but there's nothing that will motivate you and give you a holy momentum in life like serving God, getting up in the morning with something meaningful to do that lasts forever. I promise you. Son of Man, Jesus, Mark 10:45, did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. I choose service over selfishness. Don't waste your life. John Piper wrote a book by that title. And he spoke of a Reader's Digest article several years ago of a couple up in the Northeast, wife age 51, husband age 59, who decided to take early retirement because they could, and they got him a place down in Florida. Retired down to Florida in the sun, and here's what they did. They had a 30-foot trawler. They rowed around that boat. Then they had they played softball, and they collected seashells. Piper said, when I read that, I thought it was a spoof on the American dream. But then I realized, no, for many, this is the American dream. Find a place where you can afford to quit and then quit. And here's a couple. When they stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and God says, show me your life. And they say, here are our seashells, God. It's more than seashells and ball games and pleasure and fun. God put us, what He did for us in saving us was give us our life back. And what we're to do for Him is to give it right back to Him. My son, give me your heart. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
Pastor, you talked about how important it is to serve as believers. And when we serve, we become generous givers rather than just takers. What did you mean by that?
Well, in life, it's about giving. And if we love, we give. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And when you become a follower of Jesus, and when you live wisely and walk wisely in this world, it means that it's not about you. It's first and foremost about serving God, loving Him, obeying Him, following Him with all your heart. And as a result of that, the Spirit of Christ is in you to love through you and to touch people's lives so that we are giving rather than just taking. And this includes giving our finances, our stewardship. I know a lot of Christians really battle in the issue of the bondage of their finances. They're just not free in terms of their finances. And the way to break through in freedom in your finances is to learn how to give and not just take. It's true in the service of your church. And this is why I advise people constantly, you know, get out of the pew, get out of the background and get in the game. Be a part of the life of the church. Find a place of service. We have spiritual gifts. We have passions. God has given us a great opportunity to make a difference in the world. But I can't do it if my life is way down here. There's one of the proverbs from the Message which says, in the world of the generous, it gets larger and larger and larger. But the world of the stingy or the world of the selfish gets smaller and smaller and smaller. I want my life to get larger and larger and larger, embracing people, loving people, and sharing the grace of God, especially the good news of Christ. I don't want to live in a small world. And so the way to break that habit of selfishness, whether it's self-pity or self-promotion, whatever expression of self, is to get out of yourself and to give up yourself to Christ and to serve Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Thank you, Pastor Graham. And don't forget, we'll say thank you to you for your donation to support PowerPoint by sending you a copy of Pastor Graham's new series called Choices, Part 1. As we walk through the book of Proverbs, we also want to send you a book that complements this message series called The Truth About Influence. So call with your gift today and request both the Choices, Part 1 CD series as well as the book The Truth About Influence. Thanks for being with us on today's PowerPoint, and be sure to tune in again next time as Pastor Graham shares how to choose wisdom over foolishness right here on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.